Yes, to thank everyone for coming. The Mishnah we saw already, and we have the two cases of Ben Grusha and Ben Chalutza. Rashi says that the Edim, who later became Zomimim, testified that they saw the Gerushin way before the child was born, and therefore the child is a Ben Grusha. The Meiri we saw quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, and we want to expand upon it tonight. According to the Yesh Mefarshim, we can avoid all this complexity about the Edom seeing the Gerushin and exactly how to calculate from the time of the Gerushin till the time of the Hirayon and when she became pregnant and so forth and so on. According to the Yesh Mefarshim, the Edom testified that they heard the father declare about the son, "My son is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutz." And the Gemara establishes in Masechta Baba Basra, based on the Pasuk Yakir, that the father has nemanus, he's believed to establish the status of his child, whether it be a chol as far as kohun is concerned, or whether it be a mamzer as far as kohol is concerned. So two edim simply heard the declaration of the father. They tell us at what time and at what place they heard it. The father declared in their presence that my son is a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza, and based on that edus, they pass the child. Then two edim come in and they say, "Manu Ayisim, you couldn't have seen or heard the father at that time. You were with us in a different place." So now we have to ask the following question. The Gemara says in Yevamos that a father is only believed on his children and not on his grandchildren. The Torah gave him credibility as far as his son is concerned, but not as far as his grandson is concerned. And that becomes very important over here, because the reason why we cannot make the Edim into a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, Kasher Zoma, the Gemara establishes, is because then we're going to have to impact not only on the Edim themselves, but even on their children. And that we can't do. The Gemara is going to darshan, as we'll soon see, a pasuk, vasisim lo v'lo lazaro. Now the question is as follows. If, according to the Yesh Mefarshim and the Iri, they testify that they heard the father declare and identify his son as a Ben Grusha and Chalutza, then would there be any logical reason why we would convert the children of the Edim into a Ben Grusha and Chalutza? The law of Kasher Zoma, we call it the boomerang theory, means that exactly what they wanted to mete out to the Nidon, that's what we'll mete out to them. But in this case, they're only posseling who? The children, not the grandchildren. So we'll have to do to the Edom what they wanted to do to the Nidon. We'll possel them, but we can't possel their children. What do you say, Mark?
What do we need the Edom for if we can ask the father? If we accept
the father's dead already.
Oh.
He went to Medina Sayyam. Could be, now you're raising an interesting question, what if the father denies he ever said it? And it's his word against them.
Right.
That would be an interesting sugya in Yevamos. But from our perspective here, the father's not around. So the Edom testified, they heard the declaration. The Gemara says that the father would only be believed as far as his children, not his Bnei Banim. And therefore we can simply impose the punishment, Kasher Zoma, and it wouldn't be a problem of lo v'lo lazaro.
The grandchildren, so to speak, Mamela or Chalalim.
Oh, so here's what the Chelkes Yoav wants to say. That when the Gemara says that the father is believed only for his children and not his grandchildren, that's only in the case where he has grandchildren. In other words, if at the moment he made that declaration he has grandchildren, he's not believed. But if on the other hand he only has children, and he is believed under the law of Yakir, in such a case, his grandchildren will become possible through his children.
His children are possible anyway. He declares his
right.
children possible.
But the question is if his grandchildren are possible.
They have to be.
So it depends. If the grandchildren are alive at the time that he made the declaration, then Yakir is apt. Because we can't believe him as far as the grandchildren are concerned, then he loses his credibility. But if at the time that he made his declaration, he only has children, his grandchildren haven't been born yet, then in such a case, the Chelkes Yoav claims, and this is a chiddush, he would be believed as far as his children is concerned, and then later on, when his children give birth to their children, his grandchildren, they become possible, the grandchildren become possible.
I understand that, but you mean if the grandchildren are already in existence.
No, because the Torah says he can't. He doesn't have power. He doesn't have the authority to passel his grandchildren. So if he has grandchildren, the whole din of Yakir is completely undermined. It's torpedo. The chiddush of the Chelkis Yoav is that if he has no grandchildren, that's how. So the Nela, once the Torah gave him credibility, he's believed as far as his children, then all the natural consequences are halachically valid, and therefore his grandchildren become possible when they come into the world. But if that be the case, then we've answered the kasha against the ancient Farshim point, because in a case where they, the Eidim, testify against the father, that we heard him identify his children as a Ben Chirutza, Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, so then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to passel. Let's assume that there are no grandchildren, right? There are only children. So we heard the father declare about his children that they are passel as chalolim. Then that punishment will apply to the Eidim. Once it applies to the Eidim, and we make the Eidim into Chalolim, what happens to their children? They become Chalolim. And that's a violation of the rule of Lov Lo Luzar. So again, just to summarize, what we're suggesting is that according to the Yesh Mepharshim, we have a beautiful case of Lov Lo Luzar. We cannot apply the principle of Kasher Zama in a case where the Eidim testify that they heard the father identify his children as Bnei Grusha Ben Chalutza. Why? Because assuming in the scenario where the father has only children and no grandchildren, we're going to have to therefore impact, through the boomerang theory of Kasha Zomam, on the Eidim, a psul on themselves, which will now be transferred over, bequeathed, so to speak, to their children, and that we can't do because of Lola Lom.
The Eidim's children are allowed.
It's irrelevant at this point. Because what we're saying is, and we're going to get into this a little bit later when we see the Gemara, that the psul that we're transferring over to the Eidim is going to affect their children. So hold on to your question, what happens if they already have children? We're going to get into that a little bit later.
I'm comparing them to the case of the grandchildren and the
Dinah B'Akir. Right. Okay, I just wanted to say this to add to last time.
Can I ask about the Yakir concept?
Yeah, sure.
He's not posseling the grandchildren. He's posseling the son.
Right.
Memela, once the son becomes a cholo, then the children are definitely. But according to your case, you have a possibility of the children being cholo-lin, but not the grandchildren.
Right. No, there's no such case. I'll tell you why. It's the law of the excluded middle. It's Vivanashah. If he has no children whatsoever, let me correct myself. If he has no grandchildren, he only has children, so then it'll pass on to his grandchildren. If he has grandchildren, then just like he's not believed as far as his grandchildren is concerned, he's not believed as far as his children either. That torpedoes the whole nemanah of Yaakov.
Why wouldn't you just say that his nemanah on his child, if they were a child now, but his grandchildren are muksak sharing? And he doesn't have the koach, we must get the...
That's what you and I would have said without the Chalkis Yaakov. But I'm just telling you, the Chalkis Yaakov is medayik in the Gemara in Yevamos. If you want to look up the sugya, it's in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. You know, it's a little bit off the daf for us tonight. But you'll see that the Chalkis Yaakov is medayik, that the reason why we torpedo the Nemanis of the father in the case of the Bnei Banim is because the Bnei Banim are a lot.
But
we can't split his nemanis and accept his nemanis as far as his children, and then all of a sudden cut it off and say, well, his grandchildren are kshirim. Because once you accept his credibility as far as his children, then you can't stop there. You know, the natural consequence saw that his grandchildren come from us. Okay, let's go on. Now we want to talk about Ben Chalutza. Right? So we have the scenario of a Ben Chalutza, which we discussed last week. There's only one issue that I find fascinating with regard to Ben Chalutza. Ben Chalutza is posel l'kahuna midir abanam. And now the question arises, would Edim, whose testimony is absolutely meaningless, I'm talking about the first pair of Edim, on a Doraisa level, and it only has an impact on the Nidon, on a Durabanan level, would they become Edim Zomimim? Meaning, the Torah doesn't recognize the category of a psul called a Ben Chalutza. It's only Xer Durabanan, Otu Ben Grusha. So now when we look at the Torah's perspective on this, the Eidim said nothing. There was no impact to their Eidus. What do you say, Mark? Go ahead.
Are you suggesting that Eidim's only relevant on the Doraisa?
So the Ramban says that take out the words Ben Chalutza. That's not what the Ramban says. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says that Agav Lishne Nakte Tan. In other words, that the law of Eidim Zoanim does not apply in the case of Ben Chalutza. There is no such thing as Eidim Zoanim Derabbanan. The Torah says, mete out a punishment to Eidim Zoanim because they tried to create a negative impact on the Nidah. In this case, Chalolos. That's a Ben Grusha, for example. And the Torah will even say that if we cannot apply Kesher Zomim literally, then we'll give them Malchus. That's also a Doraisa Halacha. But the Torah never said that we're going to create a new system of Eidim Zomim on behalf of someone whose impact, negative impact, is not recognized by the Torah itself. So the Rabbanim made a gzera. They said the Ben Chalutza can't marry, you know, can't observe, you know, kahuna. He cannot function as a kohen. He cannot get truma, etc., etc. But the Torah doesn't recognize that. As far as the Torah law is concerned, the Ben Chalutza is kosher. And the Ramban and the Ritva, both, the Ritva is a Talmud of the Ramban, are so impacted by this question that they basically say, forget about Ben Chalutza. It's only here because whenever the Tana, they bring a whole bunch of Mishnayos, mentions Ben Grusha, it's like horse and buggy, you know, they mention Nachshlep, but they mention also Ben Chalutza, but it doesn't belong.
Isn't that the rest of Yivash Shekert Yechak?
Well, you're asking an excellent question, but just if I can just switch you, not Midvar Sheker Tirchot, but which pasuk should you quote? I always point this way, but there's no Decalogue up there, so you know, right? Lo Sada Briachay Shokek, right? So if you take a look at the Rambam, you know, it's one thing to say about the Mishnah, that the Mishnah, by the by, added Ben Chalutza, but you can't apply that to the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Eidus Perek Chaf Halacha Ches, and the Rambam says, for those of you who got my email, you may have noticed this on your list, the Rambam says, Eidim she'idu al echad v'rshi'uhu rasha, she'ein bo lo malkis, v'lo chiv mamon, v'yachach huzmu harei elu lokin, achal pishalo zomamu lahalkos, lahalkos zeh, v'lo lechayv ha'mamon, keitzat, he'idu al kohen shu cholol, Kigon, listen to this. She'idu v'yomru b'faneinu nisgar she'imo. O nechlitza. B'makom ploni, b'yom ploni, v'huzmu harei elu lokin. The Rambam meets out Malkus for a Ben Chalutza case. Now you can't say in the Rambam that Agav Lishne Nakte. That doesn't work in the Rambam. The Rambam is a self-contained code of law. So the Rambam took the Mishnah literally. Had the Rambam followed in the logic of the Ramban and the Ritva, he would have omitted Ben Chalutza. But instead he says that Kigon, he gives you these two examples. Ketzad is number one, Kigon, She'idu, V'yomru, B'fenein, and Iskar, Shiva, secondly, O Nechlitza, V'makom ploni, Yom ploni, who's Merelu Lokin? V'chein, he's got three other cases. He's got He'idu al Adam Shaharag, Bishkaga, V'huzmu, Lokim, V'enam Golim. Okay, that's also in the Mishnah. Then another two cases, which we're going to learn in the Brisa later on, in that base on the days. Heidu al shoro shel zesh aragas hanefesh v'huzmu lokin ve'ein mishalman es hakofer. That's called kofer if your animal killed somebody. Heidu olav shenimkar be'evid ivri. They testify against someone that he was sold as a slave, as an evid ivri. V'huzmu lokin. V'arba dvarim elu mipi ha'kabolahem. But he has the case of Ben Chalutza. So I think, Rav Sam, your answer is correct. That what the Rambam holds is that the Malkus here is for lo sana b'riacha eid shoker. Now it's true that on a Torah level, there is no psul called Ben Chalutza. But at the same time, you can't deny that their testimony was false testimony to impose upon this individual, this Kohen, the status of a psul d'rabbanan. But you can't deny that they violated Lo Sana Doraisa. The fact that the psul is only Drabanan does not mitigate the fact that their violation of Eidu Sheker is Doraisa. And therefore they get Malchus.
Only the Rambam is Midoraita.
What do you say?
Divrei Kabbalah and the Rambam, is me the right?
Oh, that's a heavy question. I don't know. We'll get back to that, but that's not relevant to us right now. That's not.
Because me the Divrei Kabbalah.
Here, take a look at the Rambam. You'll see it's not relevant to our discussion. The Rambam's Malkus here is Malkus Doraisa. The derivation is Midivrei Kabbalah. But Rabosai, just if I can have your attention just for 1 minute, and then the floor is yours. If you open up to Daf Beis Amid Beis, you'll see the following. We're jumping a little bit ahead of ourselves, but I think it's important that we have this to get ourselves oriented. Omar Ula, it's about 15 lines down from the top of the page. Do you have it? Omar Ula, Remez li Edim Zomim min HaTorah Minayim. Very strange question that Ula is asking. Where is there an allusion to Edim Zomim in the Torah? So the Gemara right away asks, Remez li Edim Zomim, Vaksiv Asisim lo Kosher Zomim, it's a parsha of Edim Zomim, Ela Remez li Edim Zomim Shalokin min HaTorah Minayim. We're looking for a source called a Remez in this case that Edim Zomim get Malkus. Again, not Malkus under Kosher Zomim, because they didn't try to mete out Malkus to anybody. But Malkus in a case where we cannot implement the law of Kasher Zomah. And here the Gemara quotes a pasuk, which is also in Sefer Dvarim. It's a little bit later on in Kitetz. It says, V'tzdiku es hatzadik v'rshiu es harosha. The pasuk is addressing Bezdin. Bezdin established that the righteous person is righteous and the evildoer is an evildoer. And then it says, "V'haya in din hakos harosh." And then we're going to meet out Malkus. That's hakos. So the Gemara asks the following question: Mishum v'tzdiku as a tzaddik v'shiva sarosha? Just because they justified the just and they found guilty the guilty, therefore v'haya in din hakos harosh, somebody has to get Malkus. What's the background to this puzzle? Ela edim shirshiva satzadik. The whole story starts with two witnesses that declared someone to be a Rosha or apostle. The Asu Edom Akrini, another pair of Edom came, Vitzdiku as a tzaddik to make Kara, and they established, they set the record straight that this person is a tzaddik. Vishavinu Lahani Rishoy, and therefore through a process called Hazama, Imanu Ayisa, we established that these Edom are Rishoy. And then, Vayim bin Akos a Rosha, the Edom suffer Malkus. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're telling me that Edom, you're looking for a source for Edom to get Malkus, for falsifying their testimony, for plagiarizing themselves, then Tepukle Milo Sana, we know that every lav in the Torah engenders Malkus. They violated Iso Lo Sana Reached Shaka. So the Gemara answers, Mishum da Havile Lav She'en Bo Maisa, V'chol Lav She'en Bo Maisa, Ein Lokin Olav. So let's just summarize. The Gemara tells us that the derivation of Malkus is Vitzdiku as a tzaddik v'rishivus harosha. Why not derive it from Lo Sana v'Reached Shaka, given Malkus under the universal law that every violation of a lav entails Malkus? The answer is a lav shein bo mais. So at the end of the day, what do we have over here? Where do we classify the Malkus? Do we classify the Malkus under Vitzdiku as a tzaddik? This is a whole new parsha of Malkus. Or do we classify the Malkus not under Vitzdiku as a tzaddik, but under Lo Sana v'Reached Shaka? However, if you'll argue that Lo Sana v'Reached Shaka is what? No. Olav Shem Bo Maisa, then I'll quote you the pasuk of Vitzdiku as a tzaddik v'Hayim Ben Hakos HaRosha. Does anybody know what that's called when I can't derive something from locally, from its own source, but once I have something else, it yeah. Now, what do you know what that's called?
No.
Say again?
Yeah,
no. Not a binyan af. That's called a gili milsa. It's a very technical phrase. Gili milsa means that I need another source to reveal that this case is not the exception to the rule, but rather it jumps back into the old rule. So we have a rule called Malkus for a lav. You violate a lav, you get Malkus. Then we have the exception to the rule, lav she'ein bo maisa. Now the vitzdiku es hatzadik is a gili milsa that functions to reveal that despite the fact that it's a lav she'ein bo maisa, we go back, we take Lo Sana v'Reached Shaka, we put it back into the bag of all lavim, and it engenders Malkus. So if you take a look in the Me'iri, There are fantastic footnotes in the Meiri. I'm sorry I don't have it here in front of me. A lot of my Sfarim are still being shipped over from America, so I'm dealing with that. The Mahadir, the one who writes the footnotes on the Meiri, he says the following. There are two ways of learning this Gemara. One way of learning is that Vitzdiku HaTzadik is expanding the law of Kasha Zoma and telling us that if we cannot fulfill the Kasha Zoma literally, then we'll apply the Vihaya in Bin Hakos Rosh and give him Malkus. Or is it that we're giving Malkus under the violation of the law of Lo Sanav Reachet Shoker? This is the Machlokes regarding Ben Chalutza between the Ramban and the Ritva on one hand and the Rambam on the other hand. Who can tell me how the Rambam learnt up this sugya of Malkus in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Is it inherent in Kasha Zomam? And the Vitzdikos HaTzadik is telling us that through the parasha of Kasha Zomam we'll give him Malkus? Or is it simply a violation of the law? In this case, which law? Rosan Reachet Shom. What do you say? Anybody have an answer? Are you thinking about it? Again, if you're dealing with Kasha Zomam, so then the Ramban is powerful in his argument. The Ramban says, what do you mean Kasha Zomam? Kasha Zomam, to make the guy into a Ben Chalutza? What's a Ben Chalutza? The Torah doesn't recognize a Ben Chalutza. But if you go with the Gili Milsa concept, namely, that we take Vitzdikos at Tzadik and it reveals to us that you get Malchus for Losana Breachet Shukar, despite the fact that it's a Lav Shembo Maisa, then the Rama makes sense. That if you testified falsely, I don't care whether you passed the Midoraisa or the Rabbanan, it doesn't make any difference. At the end of the day, you violated Losana, and the violation of Losana engenders Malchus. Now all this is going to shed a light on Tosfos. This is really just the background to learn Tosfos. Tosfos says the following: Tema, Kevan diem huzmu, Einam nase ben grusho ben chalutza. Izim kain gam bishalo huzmu yuzmu, Eich ye asa al piem ben grusho, Dachi u emes. Vamai ha'avi lei edus shi'ata yochel azim ha'vi'ein ze edus. Okay, well, let's give a little background. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Aleph that we have to interrogate every pair of witnesses, and we ask them chakiros. Chakiros are the seven questions that deal with what? Time and place. Why, says the Gemara, do we have to get an answer on every one of those seven questions to pinpoint the location and the place? Because we have to guarantee that the Eidus is Eidus Shata Yochel Azim, that lends itself to Azok. If that be the case, Tosa says, I don't understand. In the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, there is no Kasher Zoma. We cannot do to them what they wanted to do to the Nidon. Then therefore the Eidus become Eidus Shata Yochel Azim. And yet, clearly what the Mishnah is saying is that even though we cannot make the Edom into a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza in event that they become Edom Zomim, but if they don't become Edom Zomim, clearly their Edus is acceptable. It's valid, and therefore we declare that this Nidon is a Ben Grusha. Why should it be valid if it's Edus Shiyat Yochel Azimah?
You can't give them a punishment of the Azimah, but they can still be proven to be wrong.
Oh, okay. Great. That's going to be one teretz. But let's look at the first teretz of Tosfos. The first teretz of Tosfos, he says, V'yesh lomar, kevan delokim, havi kasher zoma. Tosfos ties up the Malkus with kasher zoma. Which approach of the two approaches that we had to that base of it base fits like a glove according to the first teretz of Tosfos? Is Vitzdiku es HaTzadik a Gili Milson Lo Sada? Or is it teaching us that within the context of Kasher Zomam, Malkus is the appropriate punishment when we can't do it literally? Tosfos in his first answer is saying that we're expanding the Kiyum of Kasher Zomam. How do we implement Kasher Zomam? We think that Kashas Zov has to be exactly the way he wanted to beat it out to the Nidog. The answer is no. We can expand it. What gives us the right to expand the Kashas Zov? Vitzdik was a tzaddik for Shias HaRasha, which means that there was a tzaddik, Meikara, the Eidah made him into a Rasha. Now the second pair of witnesses come in to be Mazin the first, and Bezdin reinstates the tzidkus of the first pair, the first Nidah. In that case, the Torah says in Ben Hakos HaRasha, and you meet out Malkus. So it comes out that the first Teretzitosis really reflects this idea that we expand Kasher Zomam to beyond this narrow straits of literal Kasher Zomam to include Malkus. Malkus itself becomes now a fulfillment of Kasher Zomam. Let's drop down now to the second Teretz in Tosus. Again, if we have time, we'll fill in the missing part of Tosus. The Od Yesh Lomer, it's right above Rabbeinu Chananel. Tegabi Edus to Ben Grusha v'Chalutza lo chayshinan klal b'yati yochol azima. In the case of these kinds of unique, exceptional Ben Grusha ben Chalutza type cases where the Torah says we cannot implement Kasher Zomam in a literal way, we don't need Atayochel Azima. Meaning the Eidus can stand on its own 2 feet even though it doesn't lend itself at all to Azoma. Why? The Meheicha Nafkalon, from where do we derive the Be'inon that we require Eidus Atayochel Azima? Where is it saying in the Torah that you need that the Eidus should be lend itself to Azoma? Mikasher Zomam. Yeah, but v'muchach b'gemara, the Gemara is going to tell us that kasher zomam lo nichtav l'gavi edus ben grusha, because it says kasher zomam lasos liyachiv, and this is not liyachiv, and so forth and so on. Is therefore lo koi kala le b'kshum tzach b'olam, the pash of kasher zomam is not relevant to edus ben grusha, and therefore we don't need edus shatiyot lazim. So let's summarize the two terutzim and tosis and see if we can come up with an afkimin. At first glance, it seems to be a conceptual machlokus. What's the nature of Malkus in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Is Malkus the fulfillment of Kasher Zomam, or no? Malkus is a whole new Malkus. It has nothing to do with Kasher Zomam. In fact, in this case of Ben Grusha, we don't need Kasher Zomam. Because since Eidus Ben Grusha was excluded, was bumped out of the parish of Kasher Zomam, because says V'asisam lo v'lo lazaro, liochiv, etc., therefore, Ben Grusha is not included in this parish of Kasher Zomam. If that be the case, then we don't need Eidus Shati Yochel Azima. So whereas the first Teretz says that every Eidus has to be Yochel Azima, there is no such thing as an animal that can be described as Eidus that doesn't lend itself to Hazama. The punishment might be literal, due to him exact, or it might be Malkus. But in either event, it is a kiyum of Kasher Zomam. The second Teretz says no. There's no requirement of Eidus Shati Yochel Azima. Ben Grusha was completely bumped out of the parish. What's the nafkimin? Comes along the note of Yehudi, says something amazing. Question is, what if the Eidim, when they're interrogated on a Ben Grusha and a Chalutza case, and they were asked exactly what time, exactly what place, they say, any other day, I don't remember. I have a bad memory. If you go with the first Teretz of Tosis, would the Eidus be acceptable?
No.
No, why not? It's Yatiyot Lazim. There's no way we can be Mazen then, because they didn't tell us exactly where or exactly when it happened. But if you go with the second Teretz of Tosis, that this category of Eidus was completely removed from the Parsha and the requirements of Azola, then the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the only reason we need answers to the questions of Chakiris, Mokom and Zman, is only because the Eidus has to lend itself to Azoma. But this Eidus is not written in the Parish of Azoma, and therefore it doesn't require to lend itself to Azoma. Says no to you, according to the second Teretz of Tosis, even if they respond any Odea to the Chakiris, the Eidus is still an Eidus share its accept.
I mean, in the case of Ben Grusha or in the...
In any of the cases where we meet out Malkus to the Eidim Zomamim instead of Kasher Zomam, which according to the second Teretz of Tosis can be reformulated and translated to the following words. This Eidus is not in the Parsha of Hazoma. If it's not in the Parsha of Hazoma, then it doesn't require to lend itself to Hazoma. Says the Nodeb Yehuda, therefore they can answer any Odea in a very naive way to any of the questions of the Chakir.
What are they testifying if they don't know?
Yeah, they say, you know, we saw his mother get a get. We don't exactly remember when or where, but we saw the get. Okay? I mentioned last time that the Beis Halevi, Rav Yoshe Ben Brisker, he could not tolerate Eidus without answers to the questions of the Chakiris. In fact, according to the Beis Halevi, Chakiros define Eidus as Eidus. That's the gufa shel Eidus, to use his terminology. And he says the following. The machlokas between the two answers of Tosfos does not revolve the way the Yehuda would have it around whether or not the Eidim have to answer the questions of the Chakiris. It was clear to everyone, even according to the second answer of Tosfos, that the Eidim have to have definitive answers to the questions of Chakiris and Trishis. They have to give you exactly the makom in this mind. More than that, says the Beis Halevi, even the second answer of Tosfos knows very well that there has to be a possibility of Hazama against the Eidim. But what would be the goal of Hazama against the Eidim Ben Grusha in the second answer of Tosfos? Not to punish the Eidim under the law of Kashasama, but what? To establish the Eidim as Eidim Shakron. And therefore we need Eidu Shatiyochel Azim. Says the Beis Halevi, the concept of Hazama has two parts to it. One dimension of Hazama is to establish these Eidim as liars. The Torah says we believe the second pair of Eidim and Mazimim against the first pair of Eidim, Yimono Yisa. The second part of the whole package of Kasha Zomam is to mete out the punishment to the Eidim. That aspect of Kasha Zomam, according to Teretz 2, will not be applicable in Ben Grusha Mechalutz. But the first aspect, namely, that through Hazama Vimono Yisem, we undermine the Eidus, and we establish that they were Shakronim, and their Eidus is completely null and void, that concept of Bittul Eidus applies even in the case of Ben Grusha Mechalutza, because Hazama and the answers to the questions of Makom Hazman define Eidus by its very kishkes. And what the Beis Halevi does for us is he opens up the parasha of Kasha Zama and he says, read the parasha carefully in Parasha Shoftim. What it says, there's two things. It says, number one, the Hine Eid Sheker Hayid, and number two, Vasisa Lo Kasha Zama. Those are two separate identities, independent one of the other. The Hine Eid Sheker Hayid means that through the process of Hazama Imanu Ayis and through the second period we established through the first period of liars. That defines Eidus, and Eidus must lend itself to that Hazama. The second dimension of Hazama of Kashazam may apply, may not apply. And indeed, according to the second Teretz of Tosfos, in the case of Engrusha and the like, it doesn't apply. But surely we need the Hine Eid Sheker Hayid, the ability to establish the Eidim as Shakronim through the process of Hazam. So when Tosfos goes back and forth on the issue of is it Eidus Shatiyochel Azim, is it, it's not Eidus Shatiyochel, you don't need Eidus Shatiyochel, all that refers as a base slave to the second dimension of Kasha Zoma, namely that we mete out the punishment of Kasha Zoma. Do we need that? Do we not need that? Tosfos in the second Teretz says, it depends. If Eidus lends itself to Kasha Zoma, then we need it. If it doesn't lend itself, like the case of Ben Grusha, then we don't need it. But as far as Vehine Eid Sheker Hayid, the basic fundamental requirement that the Eidim testify in a way that they could be subject to Hazama for the purpose of undermining their Eidus and canceling their Eidus, that we always require, even according to the second Teretz of Tosfos. That's the Shita of the Beis Halevi.
In the Hazama, I'm not really speaking about the Eidus itself. They're only passing the Gavra in Marnai Yisa. It's not passing the Eidus per se.
Right.
We don't know whether that...
Right. That's why the Rabban says that justifies why we believe the second pair of Eidus, because they don't know anything about the Eidus, they know something about the Eidus.
The Eidus,
right?
That's all.
And according to Beis Halevi, that ability for the Eidim, the second pair of Eidim, to testify against the first pair of Eidim, that must be there. That's an absolute requirement. And therefore, Chakiris and Makom Uzman represents the essence of Eidus. And without it, if it doesn't lend itself to Hazom, it's not Eidus. And less van de Poli, according to Beis Halevi, that was never an issue. You talk about whether you need Eidus Shatiyochel Azim with the full brunt of the law and the boomerang theory. But as far as Vehine Eid Sheker Hayim, that we certainly require. Okay. The Minchas Chinuch raises an interesting question here. What happens in the case of Eidus Kiddush HaKodesh? Two Eidim come in, and they testify, we saw the new moon. Where, when, they give you all the answers, they supply every detail. Now we have two Eidim that come in the Mazim, we want to use them. What's the Kasha Zomam over here? What, are we going to make them into a new moon? I mean, obviously the whole concept of Kasha Zomam...
Make them pass up at Yom Kippur.
Right, you make, look at the come with this Makel on Yom Kippur. So the Minchas Chinuch wants to know, what do we do in this case? Should we meet out Malkus to the Eidim? And the Minchas Chinuch thinks that perhaps this issue should depend upon the two answers of Tosfos. According to the first answer of Tosfos, every single Eidus has to lend itself to Kasher Zomam. Just if we can't implement Kasher Zomam literally, then we'll expand it to include Malkus, and therefore in this case of Eidi HaKodesh, Shehu's move, we're going to give out Malkus to these Eidim. But according to the second Teretz of Tosfos, there are categories of Eidus that don't lend themselves to Kasher Zomam. And therefore, in the case of Eidus HaKodesh, there is no Pashav HaZom at all, and it will not be any Malkus, says the Minchas Chinuch, according to the second Teretz also, in the case of Eide Chodesh or Huzma. And Rabbi Kivega doesn't like it. Rabbi Kivega says the following, according to the second day in Tosfos, what we're saying is that the Malkus is not a kiyum of Kasher Zoma. But then, what is the Malkus?
Separate punishment with the direct Kabbalah that the Rambam bought.
Correct, but again, is it only in these four cases?
Yes.
Can we expand beyond these four cases?
Well,
let's just think. Again, if I can just refresh your memory for a moment. According to the Rambam, how do we interpret the relationship between Vitzdigo Esat Tzadik and Losana Breyache Tshoker? What incurs the Malkus? Again, if it's Vitzdigo Esat Tzadik, we're going back to the old Kasher Zomam theory.
No,
it's a Gili Milton. So then, according to the Rambam, what engenders the Malkus? The violation of Losan. Are you asking if it's a live shape of Mises? So therefore, we have its sequence inside of the Gili Milton. No, says Rabbi Kivega, if according to the Rambam, what generates the Malkus is the violation of Losan, and the second day of Tosfos would also wave the banner of that Shita, that although Malkus is not meted out because of the Parash of Kasher Zomam, because certain Eidos are not in the Parash of Kasher Zomam, then when we get to Eidus HaKodesh, we have another perfect example of Eidus, which through Hazama, we prove that the Eidim are Eidim Shakronim, and therefore the punishment will be for the violation of Lo Sadeh Re'achin Shaka. Meaning, in Eidei Kiddush HaKodesh, no less than in any other Eidus on the entire universe, we have a violation of Lo Sana Breachei Tshoker. And how do we establish that the Eidim lied? Through Hazama. Therefore, the Eidim should get Malkus. So let's go over it again. According to the first Teretz of Tosfos, the Eidim will get Malkus under the law of Kasher Zomam because Vitzdigo Esat Tzadik expands the kiyum, the fulfillment of the punishment of Kasher Zomam, to include even Malkus. And therefore, in those cases where we cannot apply Kasher Zomam literally, the Torah presses the button and says, substitute for that, Malkus. So in Eidus Kiddush HaKodesh, they get Malkus. Says Rabbi Kivega, even according to the second Teretz of Tosfos, Eidi Kiddush HaKodesh will get Malkus, albeit not on the law of Kasher Zomam. But once we establish that they violated the law of Losana, and the Vitzdigo Esat Tzadik as a Gili Milsa reveals, sheds the light that I don't care, forget about the fact that it's a law of Shein Bo Maisa, so we give Malkus nevertheless, then Eidi Kiddush HaKodesh no less than any other Eidus, they violated Losana, Rechei Chukim, for that to get Malkus. You hear it?
Why is it
so this is the machlok between the Minchas Chinuch and the Rebbe Kivega. Well, Dibur is not considered a mas. Alright, so all they did was speak. Speech is not an action. For example, the typical, and this we're going to see later on in a second.
Is an action.
No.
Well, Eidus is just testimony by Bepeh. You know, you could ask about maybe signing a shtar, you know, and in that case, maybe that could be a mice, I don't know. But Eidus of Dibur is not called a mice. You have to accept that as an axiom right now. We'll get into it later on when we get to that phase of the days. But that's the fundamental principle, that Eidus is not a mice. And the paradigm for Malkus is the Pasha Lo Saksom Shar Bedisho, which is a Maisa, which means that you thresh and you harvest, you know, riding on the animal, and you muzzle the animal. That's called a Lav Sheyesh Bo Maisa, and that's the paradigm for Malkus. Because in that context of Lo Saksom Shar Bedisho, the Torah gives us Malkus. Anyway, we're getting off the tangent, but I just want to show you that this understanding would say that for Eidus Kish HaChodesh, you get Malkus, even according to the second Teretz and Tosfos, under the violation of Losana Breyacha Eid Shoker. I would like to suggest the following. That Dafka, according to the first Teretz and Tosfos, it's possible that there would not be any Malkus in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh. Just the opposite of Minchas Kiddush. In other words, let's accept Rabbi Kivega, that according to the second Teretz and Tosfos, even in Eidus Kiddush HaChodesh, there's Malkus for violation of what lav? Losan. The first Teretz and Tosfos never accepted that Malkus is meted out to someone for violating Losan of Riach Eid Shoker. That's all lav shein bo maisa. Ela what the Torah taught me, vitzdikos atzadik, meaning expanding kasher zomam. I would say, according to the first Teretz and Tosfos, if the only justification for meting out Malkus in the case of Eidus Sheker is Kasher Zomam, is the Parsha of HaZomam, then in the case of Kiddush HaChodesh, there would not be any Malkus. Anybody see why? There's a fundamental difference, Lefi Ani Hizdaiti, between Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, where according to the first Teretz of Tosfos, we can expand Kasher Zomam and meet out Malkus, and Eidus Kiddush HaChodesh. Let's go back to the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? V'yasisem lo kasher zomam lasos liyachiv. In the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, I understand what that means. You try to passel your friend, your ach.
Kiddush HaChodesh has no implication for other workers.
Correct. It's not an Eidus against a person. It's an Eidus about the calendar.
It could be an Eidus against Panitra.
No,
all right, maybe it could be if you want to get philosophical, but basically there's no one here that's being incriminated. Many times we need Eidus that has nothing to do with incrimination. We simply have to establish facts on the ground. And in those cases, the entire parish of HaZomah doesn't apply.
How badly works if we're testifying that there was a toast, if we're testifying that they were shakranim, that's an implication, because it means that you're going to pass them for
Eidus. Okay, so that's a good question. Again, Rabbi Shore, you're asking an excellent question, but I think Tofas Meruba lo Tofas. We're getting too much at once over here. What I mean to say is, let's just focus on one question, then we'll get to your question. My question is, when the Torah, according to the first Teretz of Tosfos, expanded the Kasher Zoma to include Malkus, so there are two ways in which we're going to give you a punishment which you deserve for trying to incriminate someone else. Lasos liyokov. Either we'll do it literally, and we'll make you pay Malkus, you know, pay Maimon, or we'll give you Misa, we'll give you or we'll give you Malkus. But Bamedvar Mamurim, in the context of the first Teretz and Tosfos, when does it make sense to implement Kasher Zoma, either literally or in the expanded form through Malkus? That's only when you have the Asisem Lo Kasher Zomam Lasos Liyachim. If you don't have that, then what's the source for Azom in this case?
So they want to make this first pair of Aiden over the lab of the Chokar.
But that's only according to the second Teretz of Tosfos. Again, let's Chazarivim. According to the second Teretz of Tosfos, Lo Sana, despite the fact I always hear that in brackets, that's a Lav Shembo Maisa, engenders Malkus. The first Teretz rejects that. There is no Malkus for Lo Sana. Lo Sana is a Lav Shembo Maisa. But Vitzdikos Atzadik teaches me an expanded application of Kasher Zoma. So in the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, for example, we have an expanded Kasher Zoma, and we punish the Eidim with Malkus. But that only makes sense if the parsha of Kasher Zoma, meaning do to me what I wanted to do to him, is applicable. But if I was just coming to be Makadish the Chodesh and establish the calendar, in such a case, there is no possibility of applying the Asisim Lo Kasher Zoma Lassus Liochiv, not literally, and not even in an expanded way, because we don't even have someone who's being accused, like we say in French, j'accuse. There's no j'accuse over here. The case of Kiddush HaChodesh is so radically different because they're not accusing anyone. And for that matter, I would add another edus to this list of discussion. Edus HaKosha. Remember we discussed that there's a difference between Azom and HaKosha. In HaKosha, I testify that I was there and Reuven did not borrow $100 from Shimon. So in that case, there is no Hazom. Would there be Malkus? Supposing we found the Edei HaKosha, because again, the Edei HaKosha also have to testify on Makom and Zman, and then there was Hazom on the Edei HaKosha, would the Edei HaKosha now suffer Malkus? If you go with the second Teretz of Tosfos, what's the answer? Again, the second Teretz of Tosfos, Lo Sanav Reach Eid Shakar, yes. Because through the Azoma, we established that the Edei HaKosha were lying, they perjured themselves, as we say, they lied under oath, right? And therefore they get Malkus. But if you go back to the first Teretz of Tosfos, that there is no Malkus for Kasher Zoma, for Lo Sanav Reach Eid Shakar. There's only Malkus for Kasher Zoma. I'm not sure where the Kasher Zoma would apply to Edei HaKosha. Because in the Edei HaKosha, they're not trying to mete out punishment to anybody. What? Good, but again, that's not Kasher Zoma Lassos Liochim. That's not an incrimination. They're just undermining the Eidus of the first Eidim by saying, we're Makrish. It never happened. All I'm trying to say, Rabosai, is that there may be who knows how many cases where the Eidus does not fit at all into the bill of Lassos Liochim. It's not an incrimination kind of edus. And in that case, perhaps the entire parish of Kasher Zomim doesn't apply.
Can you just explain how Kasher should begin? Because I'm not quite understanding it. You put one pair of edus that are kept by the Reuven gave Shimon $100.
Right. And now the second pair of Edom comes in and say Reuven didn't give him large enough. What?
No, surely the only way to get rid of that Edom is Emmanuel Ayyidim. Because then you've got Edom of two, and they've got Edom of...
Well, no, as we discussed here a few weeks ago, in HaKosha, what we do is we throw out both pairs of Edom.
Okay.
You know, we start like a new slate. Okay, Rabbi, let's look at the Gemara now, because it's about time that we started the Gemara. HaKetzad Ein Edom Nasim Zomim Mibayle. The Gemara says, I don't understand the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in the case of Ben Gushim and Chalutza, we cannot apply Kasher Zoma. And yet the Mishnah opens up with a statement, Ketzad Ha'edim Nasim Zoma. It should have said, Ketzad Ein Ha'edim Nasim Zoma. So the Gemara answers, oh, and now the Gemara has a second question. V'od, and furthermore, Midik Tani L'Kamon. Later on in Daf Hei, it's going to say, Amru Lehem. Heich Atem Me'idim Sharei B'Yosayom Atem Ha'yisim Imanu B'Makom Ploni. How could you testify about such a thing that you saw on such a day in such a place? You were with us on such a day in such a place somewhere else. Harei Elu Zomim, that's what Zomim is. Michlal D'Elu Ein Zomim. So in other words, you asked the question here in the opening line in the Mishnah, Ketzad Eidim Nasim Zomim, and you didn't answer that question. You should have answered that question by saying that the second pair of Edim testify. In other words, the Gemara assumes Ketzad Edim Nasim Zom means by what process do you establish that the first pair of Edim are Zomim? And the answer to that question is Imanu Ayisa. That answer doesn't appear here in this Mishnah. Instead, the Mishnah tells me a whole song and dance about a certain Edim that doesn't lend itself to Kasher Zoma. So the Gemara answers, Tana Hasam Kod. This Mishnah is a continuation of the Mishnah that precedes it at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin. You have to minus Perek HaChelik. Okay, because that's all Machlokas where Perek HaChelik belongs. Kol Azomim Makdimim Liosa Misa. There are four types of Misos, right? Skilu Straight Ferik Vchenik. Now, what happens if the Edom testified about a Bia, an illicit sexual relationship in which there are two participants? both he and she, the Baal and the Nevelis. And guess what? In this particular circumstance, as we'll soon see, the Baal gets one Misa and the Nevelis gets a different Misa. So which one of the two Misos should we impose upon the Edim who became Zomimim? So that's the case of Zomeme Bas Kohen Ubol. Notice they testified against the daughter of a Kohen that she was Mizana, she had a relationship with someone else, and they testify against him and her, two participants in the action of Bia. Now her punishment, because she's a Bas Kohen, and she also, in addition to the sexual prohibition, she also humiliates her father, the Kohen. So the Torah imposed upon her a super duper punishment that's called Srefa. Srefa is amongst the most serious kinds of Misa. Whereas the Boel only gets chenek. I mean, only at the end of the day, you're dead anyway. But somebody might say, who cares? But it's nevertheless, it's a little bit more comfortable to die through chenek than it is to through srefa. So the Gemara establishes there at the end of Sanhedrin that there's a special pasuk in the parsha of Zom, of Bas Kohen Shezinsa, that says there he b'sreifa v'lo zomimeha b'sreifa. Then in this case, the zomimin, the Edom zomim, will get chenek instead of Sreifa. So here's a case where the Edom had an intention to give Sreifa, in this case to the Bas Kohen, but instead they get a different Misa, they get a Misa of Chenek. So it's already a little bit of a fluky case. And now the Mishnah at the beginning of Makkos, expanding on that, says V'yesh Edom Zom Macherim. There's another case of Edom Zom, which is even more extreme. She'ein Osim Bohem Hazom Kol Ikar. That there's absolutely no punishment of the boomerang theory. You know, in the case of Zom Vas Kohen, all right, we don't give the Edom Sreifa like they wanted to give her, but we give them Al Kol Panim Chenek, which they wanted to mete out to the Boel. So there is a miktas kiyum, a partial kiyum of kasher zoma. But in the case of our Mishnah Megrusha B'chalutza, there's absolutely no kiyum of kasher zoma. Ela malchus arboim. And on that, again, you have to add that whole piece as an introduction to our Mishnah. Ketzad, now the Mishnah asks the question. Ketzad, what's the case where we don't mete out kasher zoma, but instead we give malchus? And again, there are two ways of reading this Gemara. Ela malchus arboim. Either it means malchus is the expanded kiyum of kasher zoma, that's the first teretz of Tosfos, or malchus has a separate violation of losana, according to the Rambam, and the second teretz of Tosfos. Ketzad, so the Mishnah asks, what is the case where there's no kasher zoma at all? Good. So from the beginning of the Gemara until this point of Minani Mili, the Gemara is justifying the linguistics, the formulation of the Mishnah. How can the Mishnah say Ketzad Edom Nasim Zomim and instead offer us an answer of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, where there is no Kiyum of Kasher Zom? It's very paradoxical. The answer is that the Mishnah is an extension of what we saw at the end of Sanhedrin. Namely, there in the case of Zomei Bas Kohen Ubola, we have a partial Kiyum of Kasher Zom. We'll give the Edom Chenek instead of Sreifa. Here's a case where Lo Mekayim Bem Hazom Kol Ikar, we don't apply Hazom at all, and that's the case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Instead of Hazoma, we give them what? Malchus. Now we come to the meat of the issue. Minani Mili. How does the Mishnah know such a thing? Why don't we make the Edom into Psulim? And once again, keep in mind that Rashi says the Edom themselves are Kohen. Or alternatively, we can go with the Meiri, that the Meiri says that even if the Edom are Yisraelim, but there's a Kasher Zomah because the din of a Chol is that he passes his wife through beer. In any event, Minani Mili, what's the source? Om Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and some say in the name of Reish Lakish, the Omar Kra, the Torah says, Vasisem lo kasher zoma. Why did the Torah have to add the word lo, due to him? Could have said, Vasisem kasher zoma. We would understand, it's to him. Who else would it be? Lo v'lo lezara. We have a problem here, because when Edom testify against someone that he's a Kohen Chol, he's a Ben Grushin, he's Pasul Kahuna, then it impacts on their children as well. And if we apply Kasher Zomim, literally the boomerang theory, we're going to have to passel the children of the Edom. But the Torah says, Vasisem lo, lo, velo, lazaro. Nusa the Gemara says, wait a minute, if the Torah says lo v'lo l'zaro, why don't we give the Edom exactly what they wanted to give to the Nidon, but without possibly their children? And we'll be Mekayim everything. We're Mekayim the Kashazomim, literally, but we won't violate the rule of lo v'lo l'zaro, v'lifsalinu l'diday, v'lo lifsalu l'zare. Why don't we possibly, he himself, meaning the Edom himself, v'lo nifsale l'zare, we won't disqualify his children? So the Gemara says that's not fair. That's also not a kiyum of kasha zomam. Be'inon kasha zomam lasos vileka. It's an all or nothing proposition. If we can't do to the Edom exactly as they wanted to do to the Nidon, namely, if the Edom will become psulim, but not their children, then you're not really meeting out to the Edom what they wanted to do to the Nidon. Because in the case of the Nidon, by establishing him as a Ben Grusham and Chalutza, what impact does it have on their children?
Passing all
the generations. Now here, I gave... Did everyone get a copy of this Afike Yam? There's a brilliant analysis here of the Afike Yam. If you didn't get it here, take a copy. Here are a few more copies.
Who is the Afike Yam?
Afike Yam lived about a century ago. He was a Rav in the city of Vilna. And if you take a look, you see on the right side, I put an arrow there, because that's where it really starts. You see it? Yeah. Yesh sheyorad lahazbir tam hagemara. Kevin shezomam lefoslo v'es zaro harei e efsho lifsol zera edim lachen gama edim atzmam enim nifsom lechoro lomi imashku zera edim v'psula via mishum onesh hazoma. I'll explain this in a minute. Halo ha edim sheyavo lifsol kama anoshim v'psul chalolus ilu ayadid shemakayim onesh hazom lifsol psul chalolus hayu ha edim nasim chalolim. Okay, let's explain the kasha of the Afik. You have his kasha?
I think I've got his kasha. I think his kasha goes against the Gemara.
Well, again, let's just try to appreciate his kasha first. Let me ask you a question. Imagine for a moment, just in the apple of your eye, in the vision of your eye, that the accused, the Kohen who's on trial and being accused by the Zomim, has many children, a number of children. And imagine that these Edom Zomimim, the first pair of Edom, would testify against the whole crew. They're all possible liadis, laguna. This one is a Ben Grusha, this was an Aben Ben Grusha, and so forth and so on. Would it be sufficient in that case if we would apply the principle of Kasha Zomim to passel the Edom, even though each aid will only be passel as one human being? So you'll say to me, wait a minute, Rabbi, this is not fair, because they tried to passel five people and only one of them became passel as a kashrus. Would that be a problem? See, Afike Yam says, no, that's not a problem at all. Even though they tried to mete out this punishment to many different people, it would be sufficient if you, the Eid, yourself, and only yourself, would become a Cholam. So what's the problem over here? The Gemara says that there's no Kiyum of Kasher Zomam here. We didn't do to the Eid what they wanted to do to the Nidon. Why not just be happy by making the Eidim into a Ben Grusha and Chalutza? And that itself would be a fulfillment of Kasher Zomam vis-a-vis all the different people for all the generations that became Chalolim. So what? Who cares if the Nidon has 50,000 children? What difference does it make? All you have to do is mete out that punishment to the one single aid. And that's a full-fledged kiyum of Kasher Zomam. So why does Gemara say no? This is a half-baked and incomplete Kasher Zomam. Okay, now.
What about the unborn children?
So what? Imagine that the unborn children were born. Right?
Yep.
So they became psulim. So what are you going to tell me? So that the Edom Zomim had tried to passel not only the father, but the child and his grandchildren.
Yeah,
so make it 50,000, make it a billion people. I'll grant you a billion people. How many you want? It doesn't matter. So he tried to passel so many people. He became a Ben Grusha. That itself is a kiyum. We don't have to make him 50,000 Ben Grushas over and over again. One kiyum of Ben Grusha should be enough for all of them.
Yeah,
It's a quality and quantity type of thing. You're not dealing with quantity. It's the quality. What you're doing is you're making the person a cholo. And therefore you're doing the same thing to the azoma.
I think you're saying the answer, Rabbi, but I need you to go one step further, you know. What is a psul cholo? And here's the chiddush of the Afikiyam. He says the following: a psul cholo is a psul that's so powerful, and it has such a long range arm, an extended arm, that it impacts even on the children. That's what we have to give to the Eidim. We have to transpose on the Eidim the exact same punishment they wanted to impose on the Nidon. They wanted to give the Nidon a psul which is now inherited through the generations. It's true, if we count people, one kashazoma to the single aid to make him better, that would be sufficient. But the problem is, you're not willing to passel the children of the aid because of lo, below Lazaro. Then what kind of a psul are you imposing on the aid? A psul which is limited to he himself and it's not transferable and not bequeathed to his children. That's not kashazoma. Take a look inside. And with this, we'll call it a night because I don't want to keep you too late. It says the following. He says, Ella, on the fourth line on the left column, he says, Ella shesham zamamu l'shtei asios nifrados. It's true that if they had a zmama against many different people, one kiyum kashazam would suffice. Avol kan zamamu eidim rak achas lifsol oso. But what kind of psul? Mitoch psulo mistaif. The word mistaif means it extends. Shegam zaro posul. The nimtzah shebo these first pair of eidim zomim liposlo bipsul chomor. They wanted to impose a very severe psul hamispashet gam al zaro that would extend even to their children who passed on. Vasher al kain olenu lifsol eidim gam kein bipsul chomor. In order to fulfill kasha zomim, the eidim have to suffer exactly what they try to mete out. For the Nidon, Sheyuchal is Pashin Gam Al Zaron. They have to become Chalolim exactly in the same way that the Nidon became a Chol. Namely, a Zapsul, that it's so severe that it's passed on to the children. That we cannot impose on the Eidim. Why? May Acher Shomer HaKos, since the Torah says, Lo, V'lo L'Zaro, E'efshar L'kayim Bo'eid, Onesh, Bi'osa Mido Shezomam, Lifsol Es Ochiv. Since we cannot impose upon the Eidim a psul which is passed on to their children, because the Torah says what? Lo, v'lo lizaro. Therefore, we're not fulfilling the din of kashrus.
What's the chiddush? We already know that.
No, again, let's go back to the havamina of the Afikiyam. Let's not. No, I'm saying, you know, it's his answer is so beautiful that you forgot his original logic. In his original logic, the Afikiyam was understanding that if one individual, call him an aide, is trying to attack and punish many, many different individuals, it would be fine, right? Let's say, for example, an aide would testify that there were five rotzchim, you know, and we have to mete out misa to all five people, each one is rotzeach. Then we would say kasha zoma, we would kill the aid under the law of kasha zoma, even though he's only one person, he tried to kill five people. Here too, in the case of chalolim. So what are you going to tell me? He not only imposed chalolis on this nidon, we'll call him Yankel the Kayim, but also on his children, his 12, the 12 shvatim, each one of them is going to become a chol. So what? Why is it any different than someone who testified against five rotzim? And we give him one misa, and that's a fulfillment of kasha zoma. Comes along the Afikiyam, he says, no. If he's testifying against five people, it's an asiyah on each one of them. So you can do that asiyah, but it's the same punishment. In the case of chalolos, the chalolos itself, inherently, is such that is so severe and so powerful that it passes through the generations. That's the kind of punishment, the kind of chalolos that we'd have to transpose and transfer on to the Eidim, and that we can't do because their psul chalolos cannot be passed on. Lo v'lo lizar. Take home this page because we only got about halfway through the Afikiyam, and see if you can decipher the second half of the Afikiyam, beginning with the words. Achein lefi zeh. That's where we stopped, if you want to underline those words. Okay, I want to wish everyone a great week. A meaningful fast on Shavuot Tammuz, and hopefully by next Wednesday we'll be healthy again after the fast.
You know the Zara when you understand.
Yeah.
Because he's not possible. I mean, you're talking about an act that you're doing, but you're speaking about the result of that. Forget about the result of doing it. I'm trying to, I'm postulating this aid who wanted to postulate the Kohen's children. So they're going to do the same to me. Ah, the fact that it's going to impact on my kids has nothing to do with it. They're impacting me. The main of what happens.
So that's the second half of the idea. Really?
It would be, for example, a maid that he killed somebody, and I became an Indian. Then they came to be my maid. So they're going to kill me. You're affecting my kids, aren't they?
If that's what you're saying, that Bezdin should mete out the punishment, then it's a violation of low law. But if there are psychological impacts,
but not psychological. Any kid that could have been born is no longer born.
Right.
So you're affecting much more than me.
Right. So that comes under the Ramban that we discussed last week. The Ramban asks, why not at least force the Aiden to pay all the truma that this Kohen would have received from now until his death? So the Ramban comes up with an idea that there's no kashu zoma for grova lahab, for things that will happen in the future. Kashu zoma is only for the tangible, meaningful punishment that's now and immediate.
It's a theoretical. Okay, so then lo zaro in terms of children being chalolim.
So what the Afikiyam is saying at this point, and then he's going to ask your question, is can you impose that shame psul with all its essence onto the aid? And the answer is, you're going to give the aid a psul which is passed on to the generations. That we can't do.
That's what bothers me. I'm giving it to him. The result of that is not my function. I'm giving it to him because he tried to do it to him.
But that's the kind of psul it is. It's a psul which is passed on. That's the nature of the psul chalos. In other words, what you're saying is that he, the aid, now becomes cholol. Cholol means he's desecrated. His kedusha, his kahuna, his kahuna. That we can't do.
And if he doesn't have children?
Oh, so that's going to be another discussion that we have. And even if he doesn't have children, but you're imposing upon him a psul, which otherwise
is the same psul that he wanted to do to Milachatchila. That's the psul, that's exactly the psul he wanted to do to Ben Grusha.
Correct, but since the Torah says lo zaro,
that's what I don't mean. Lo zaro,
all right, well, let's give it a little
more
time to sink in.
Doesn't make sense. Because I can make a distinction between an act and a result.
Okay, I'm all signed. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming.
It could be. What if I don't have it?